Hi, I'm Rebecca Harold. This is a second quarter 2011 edition of the Protecting Information podcast. Thank you for listening. The topic for this quarter is messaging, security, and privacy. First, let's consider the many messaging options. Do you do digital messaging? There are so many ways in which you can message today, and you may not even be aware of when you are using some of the almost endless messaging possibilities. Some of the most common include the following: traditional email, texting on your cell phone, instant messaging, also called IMing, microblogging, such as through Twitter, commenting on blogs, messaging on social media walls, such as on Facebook, exchanging fax transmissions, using online phone calls such as Skype, using location tracking tools such as Foursquare. Digital messaging brings some great benefits. However, as with most everything good, there are also risks that come along with their use. The most common include the following four risks. Number one, malware. Email was the main way malware was spread up until 2009, when it was surpassed by web-based messaging methods. However, email continues to be the primary method for distributing spam and phishing messages. Number two, user mistakes. Such things as sending messages to the wrong people, doing a reply all and sending a message to more people than intended, and forwarding messages to others that the sender didn't realize contained sensitive information. These are all common mistakes. Number three, direct hack attacks. Hackers exploiting vulnerabilities within your messaging service to get to your messages and contact names, both of which criminals consider to be very valuable. For example, drive-by downloads that occur when malware is automatically downloaded to your computer when you visit a website, usually without your consent and often without your knowledge. Number four, privacy breaches. Personal information is increasingly being sent through messaging and getting into the hands of criminals or posted online for the world to see, providing crooks with valuable information. For example, a growing number of applications are using geolocation capabilities to automatically communicate individuals' real-time locations online, permitting criminals to execute more targeted attacks, both digital and physical. Now I'm going to give brief overviews of the seven most common negative impacts that can happen when using messaging services. Number one, financial losses. Much malware, common in many different messaging services, are designed to steal money from victims' financial accounts. For example, malware called Zeus cost the company Parkinson Construction $92,000 simply because the owner of the firm clicked on a message claiming to be from the Social Security Administration. Number two, loss of customer data. Data breaches can result in very costly customer remediation, such as notifying customers via postal mail that their data was lost, or providing credit reporting services for a year or even longer, or loss of future business. Also, embarrassing press and large fines and penalties. Number three, loss of internal data. Trade secrets, confidential information, and other intellectual property can be lost as a result of poor messaging security. These losses can occur across a wide range of activities, including sensitive content that is mistakenly sent in an email or an unencrypted file transfer, through giving malicious sites a direct path into your computer, or falling for a phishing scam. Number four, violation of statutes and compliance requirements. Organizations could be fined huge multi-million dollar amounts and have to endure up to 20 years of constant government audits and scrutiny when information that should have been protected is breached through any of the messaging methods. Number five, malware. There are many types of damaging malware that exists. The download of malware can also turn corporate and home-based computers into such things as zombies that are used as part of a bot attack network. Number six, internet service outages. Some malicious or illegal messaging content will result in your computer being disconnected from your internet service provider, or could even get you blacklisted, resulting in no other ISPs wanting to chance having you as a customer. Number seven, denial of service. Websites and online services being taken down for long periods in order to patch the code to eliminate a messaging exploit. Now, here are nine actions that you can take to help keep your information safe when doing any type of digital messaging. Number one, know who you are actually communicating with. It is common for messaging IDs of all types to be spoofed if the apparent message sender's communication is not characteristic, then it could very well be spoofed. Number two, make sure you check the to line before sending a message or the phone number before sending a text. Many breaches and incidents have occurred by accidentally communicating with the wrong individuals. Number three, do not click links with messages from people you do not know. They could lead to malicious sites. Be particularly cautious about clicking on photos and videos that claim to show dramatic images or footage of disasters. They're often used as bait and lead to malware. Number four, check shortened URLs or web addresses before clicking them. You can use a service such as checkshorturl.com or security.net to do this. Number five, never send confidential information such as social security numbers, credit card numbers, or patient information within clear text messages or in replies for requests for such information. Number six, when you must send confidential information for some reason, protect it by encrypting it. Number seven, use different passwords for messaging services used to communicate with financial businesses, healthcare providers, and other professional services than what you use for more frivolous and non-sensitive communications, such as those to social media sites. Number eight, recognize phishing attempts in emails, texts, instant messages, comments on blogs and social media sites, and other messaging venues. And number nine, use up-to-date anti-malware tools to scan digital messages and message attachments before opening them. I hope you found this information useful and that you put it into action at your home to help protect valuable information during any and all of your many messaging activities. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you next quarter. This is Rebecca Harold, the Privacy Professor. Goodbye for now.